interpretation and position is flawed, is too narrow in scope, and it should be rejected. Number two, the above facts and evidence provide a compelling argument that the supplemental district regulations for impervious surfaces are appropriate and specify requirements that are not met at 313 Atlantic Avenue. Therefore, the prerequisite requirements for impervious surfaces were not appropriately applied by the building inspector prior to issuing the building permit. Our conclusions demonstrate a consistent and responsible application of the new Cary Beach Code for impervious surface requirements, especially the additional awareness of impervious surfaces issued and the more stringent code requirements recently adopted by the town. The building inspector has obviously discarded the impervious surface requirements as unimportant. Therefore, all permits for the third-story construction project at 313 Atlantic Avenue should be denied and rescinded. May I take a moment to take us along?
Certainly.
Our appeal issue number three, the 313 Atlantic Avenue property has been classified by the building inspector as a non-conforming property, which requires the application of the code section of Article 5, non-conforming use. In continuation of non-conforming situations, and in particular, paragraph 4, which relates to extension of use. And I'll read that. There shall be no extension in non-conforming use that would increase the building's occupancy, square footage, production, servicing, or utility demands, except that any structure used for single-family residential purposes and maintained as a non-conforming use or structure may be enlarged or replaced with a similar structure of larger size, so long as the enlargement or replacement does not create new nonconformities or increase the extent of nonconformities with respect to yard size, which at minimum should comply with RA 1A residential requirements. I'm glad I got through this. Trying to dissect this extremely long sentence is, for its intended meaning, it's challenging, especially to me. For clarification, I'd like to review it in three parts. The first part of the sentence is relatively clear. It's been there since 1973 and has withstood 35 years of scrutiny. It says, there shall be no extension in a non-conforming use that would increase the building's occupancy, square footage, production, servicing, or utility demands. This statement, as I mentioned, was the entire wording of the previous zoning code paragraph. It's concise, it's clear, it's unambiguous, and it was withstood the 35 years of scrutiny.
Would you hold on to Mr. Lindsay while she's out? She needs to hear all of your comments.
Thank you.
That's quite all right, we understand. You're not feeling well, you doing all right now?
I appreciate your taking that break, that gave you a chance to say one too.
I have pneumonia, so you have to pause.
Let me start with the first part of that sentence. There shall be no extension of a non-conforming use that would increase the building's occupancy, square footage, production, servicing, or utility demands. This was the statement in the entire exact wording of the previous zoning code paragraph that was issued a long time ago in 1973. This concise statement is clear, unambiguous, and has withstood 35 years of scrutiny before the latest code version was issued in 2008. It's obvious the wording of the previous zoning code section of 1973 would clearly deny a permit for the third-story addition at 313 Atlantic Avenue. Let's take the second part of the sentence, beginning with, except that any structure used for single-family residential purpose and maintained as a non-conforming use or structure may be enlarged or replaced with a similar structure of larger size, so long as the enlargement or replacement does not create new non-conformities or increase the extent of existing non-conformities. If the code stopped with this wording, this exception statement would seemingly override or disqualify the first part of the sentence and allow a permit to enlarge a non-conforming single-family structure. However, there is a third statement and an additional statement that was made in the third and last part of the sentence, beginning with respect to the yard size, which at a minimum should comply with RA 1A residential requirements. This last part of the sentence presents a caveat statement and with a warning that the non-conforming property yard size as a minimum comply with RA 1A district requirements. This is really important. Just as the requirements of the second part of the sentence can override and disqualify the first part of the sentence, the requirements of the third part of the sentence can override and disqualify the second part of the sentence. In other words, before any new permit can be issued, the property must meet all, and I'll underscore all again, the requirements of the code section that we just read in paragraph 4. Folks, unfortunately, the new term yard size, it was introduced with the latest code in 2008, is not defined in the zoning code's definition section of 19.1. So let's do another examination and look at yard size in its two word components. The first word, yard, it is defined in the code definition section 19.1. Yard shall mean an open space on the same lot with a building, primary and accessory, unoccupied and unobstructed from the ground upward except for trees, shrubbery, screen walls or fences as otherwise provided required in this chapter. The minimum allowable depth and width of the yard shall be determined by line parallel to and following the curvature of the property line at a constant distance therefrom. If you noticed, I took the liberty to underline and make bold the reprinted yard definition word unobstructed from the ground. The second word, size, is a more commonly used and understood word. Yard is defined in this dictionary as the physical dimensions, proportions, magnitude, or the extent of an object. For clarity, folks, let's rewrite the term yard size as the size of the yard. This restatement of yard size is accurate and it adds significant clarity. It certainly does to me. Yard, then, provides the root word definition for yard size and the dimensions of front, side, and rear yards define the size requirements. front, rear, and side yards are also defined in the definitions section. But restating it adds significant clarity if you restate it as the size of the yard. So, again, let's look at the front and rear side yard dimensions, which are required for the RA1A district. And they're stated in code section 19109 for dimensional requirements for the RA1A district, as required by that long sentence. I'll start with number 3, because these are dimensions related to a yard. Minimum required front yard shall be 20 feet. Minimum required side yard shall be 5 feet. The minimum required rear yard shall be 10 feet. Coincidentally, this code section includes the 3 dimensions that are identified as setbacks by the building inspector as his substitute definition for the entire term yard size. And again, the building inspector and I had corresponded from, I don't know, August sometime last year and up until the permit was issued several times. And this was included in an email dated August the 24th last year from the building inspector. That's our attachment F. So here's our evidence and facts. Fact number 1. The term yard size is not defined in the QB Zoning Code definition section. The term yard size is not defined in any available standard dictionaries that we were able to obtain. However, fact number 2, restating yard size as the size of the yard greatly clarifies the definition of yard size as it's used in this code section. Therefore, the code section definition of yard is directly applicable for defining yard size. Fact number 3, the 3 yard dimensions specified for RA1A district, identified as front, side, and rear yard, specifies the minimum dimensional requirements. Note, the term setback used for the building inspector is not included in any of the above RA1A code section. The zoning code definition for yard clearly states that all yard dimensions must begin at the ground. That's important. Our conclusions. Number 1, the building inspector's interpretation and position appears to redefine the zoning code definition section for yard dimensions as beginning in vertical space. More specifically, beginning at the third floor heights proposed for the 313 Atlantic Avenue project. The code definition of yard does not specify, and it does not allow yard dimensions to be reinvented and begin in vertical space above ground, and thereby ignore the code definition that all yard dimensions begin at the ground level. The building inspector's idea of yard dimensions defined in vertical space above ground, it's in direct conflict with the zoning code definition for yard. His interpretation meets the size part of the definition of yard size, but falls way short of meeting the definition of yard requirement beginning at the ground. Board of Adjustment members, has anyone ever told you that you needed to climb on top of your rooftop to measure your yard dimensions? That's what the building inspector is implying with his interpretation. Number 2, if someone were applying a common sense interpretation of the new zoning code wording, if setbacks alone are sufficient parameters to define yard size, as the building inspector stated in the email to me, the language used in section 19357, paragraph 4, in its origination, should have used the more commonly used wording of just setbacks. Setbacks is a much more common wording than yard size. But instead, it introduced a new and undefined term, yard size. We know that setback is also defined in the zoning code definition section. However, it does not equate to the definition of yard. And here's why. Let me illustrate with a yardstick. Let's just take this yardstick. I hold it up in the air, and it's 3 feet long. Hold it up in the air. Where am I going to start? Setback's definition doesn't provide a specific definition of where it starts. But as I just read, the definition for yard says it must begin at the ground. They're the same dimension, provides the same dimension, the size part of yard size, but it doesn't provide the definition of where the yard dimensions begin at ground level. We acknowledge that the building inspector needs some flexibility to interpret code. That's part of his job. However, he should not be allowed to invent new code definitions or develop interpretations that are in direct conflict with the existing code definition of yard. One can only conclude that the facts and evidence on the ground at 313 Atlantic Avenue fall short of meeting any minimum yard size dimensional requirements for RA1A districts. These facts and evidence clearly disqualifies the application of the second part of the sentence of paragraph 4, which denies the addition of any additional living space horizontally or vertically over the present building at 313 Atlantic Avenue. I'd like to summarize the issues that we've stated here as our appeal issue number one. And we submit the two following alternatives to consideration by the Board of Adjustment. Alternative number one, the Atlantic Avenue, 313 Atlantic Avenue property does not meet any of the minimum dimensional requirements for yard size. Based on the compelling evidence presented above, which is derived from the yard dimensional requirements in the RK1A district and the zoning code definitions of yard that states all yard dimensions at the ground, and also the dimensions derived from the owner's survey plot that shows there is not one yard dimension that meets the minimum required dimension at the ground. One must conclude that the 313 Atlantic Avenue doesn't qualify for any additional living space horizontally or vertically, including adding a third story over the existing building. We assert that the building inspector's interpretation and position that equates setbacks with the definition of yard size is seriously flawed, in that his definition does not acknowledge or apply all the Cary Beach code requirements. It's too narrow an interpretation, and it's in direct conflict with the existing code definition to yard. Therefore, his misinterpretation of this zoning code, paragraph 4, it should be rejected in all permits for the third-story construction project at 313 Atlantic Avenue must be denied and rescinded. Alternative number 2. Since yard size is a new term introduced in the zoning code section 19357, paragraph 4, and yard size isn't defined in the zoning code definitions, the recently added wording in this code section May, if I'm just saying may, be open to multiple interpretations and may lead to ambiguous meanings. In ambiguous situations, the zoning code wording must revert to the previous and unambiguous wording of the 1973 zoning code version, which has withstood 35 years of scrutiny before the new code wording was introduced or issued in 2008. The previous zoning code wording would clearly deny a permit for a third-story construction at 313. Therefore, all permits for the proposed third-story construction must be denied and must be rescinded. We'll make a note that in rule of law examples that we researched where towns defended ordinance that were found ambiguous, the courts have generally ruled in favor of the appellant or the plaintiff. I'd like to present basically our summary statements. We presented compelling arguments, including factual evidence that number one, 313 Atlantic Avenue property violated Curie Beach zoning code when it was built in 1986 and is still an illegal non-conforming property. Illegal code violations should be addressed by the code enforcement officer before any new permits are considered. That's what we've said in or summarized for appeal issue number one. Number two, the stated prerequisite requirements for impervious surfaces in the Supplemental District Regulation Code section that are applicable for 313 Atlantic Avenue, the building inspector has himself applied some of those requirements in the Supplemental District Regulations. However, this code section requirements were improperly discarded as irrelevant by the building inspector. That's basically a summary of our appeal issue number two. The building inspector's misinterpretation of the recent wording added to the continuance of non-conformity situations code section is seriously flawed. His position that it's okay to apply yard dimension requirements beginning in vertical space at the third story addition level is wrong. More importantly, his position directly conflicts with the existing code definition of yard, which clearly states that all yard dimensions begin at the ground. Failure to meet any of the minimum RA1A requirements for yard size at 313 Atlantic Avenue disqualifies the application of the second part of the sentence in paragraph 4, which also disqualifies the building inspector's short-sighted statement, they're not adding any new nonconformities. That's basically summarizing our appeal issue number 3. Number 4. Each of the three appeal issues defined and discussed above would deny a permit for a third-story addition at 313 Atlantic Avenue. Number 5. It's inconceivable to believe that the liberal position taken by the building inspector was the intended meaning of the new wording when it was adopted in code definition section 19357, a continuance of non-conforming situations in 2008. Since new code cannot conflict with existing code definitions. Additionally, by using the term yard size instead of using the building inspector's term setbacks in the code language, I assume the P&Z board wrote the code section, and they obviously had a different meaning because they used the word yard size restated as the size of the yard instead of using what the building inspector says is the equivalent meaning of setbacks. Number 6. accepting the building code's position would essentially allow any and all existing Pure Beach properties with the most egregious code violations the ability to add significant living space with major upgrades and therefore thereby exist in the perpetuity. This practice would leave adjacent conforming property owners and entire neighborhoods with no hope that the egregious non-conforming house next door would eventually be replaced by the one that did. We thank you for this opportunity.
Mr. Lindsay.
Yes, sir.
When this house was built in 1986, and looking at your, I guess your sales detail exhibit, this Francis, I guess, and Mary Ferris owned the property in 1985. They built the house in 1986?
Well, I showed that Lorraine Warren bought the house in May of 1973. That's the first sales history that New Hanover County has.
Right. We bought the lot or bought the house?
The house was built.
She bought a house and a lot at 313.
So there was a house on the lot at that time?
There was a cottage there. It was my wife's aunt's property. So we know exactly what it was at that time.
Excuse me, what year was this?
May of 1973.
Can I ask you a question? At that time, you say she bought the house and the lot. What were the parameters of the lot at that time?
What were the parameters? The same as they are today.
It's not making, something's not making sense.
Your house sits on part of this lot, right?
No.
Was re-deeded later?
No. Our house sits on a separate deeded parcel. It doesn't sit on this lot.
But it says it's a part of lot 14.
A part of the original lot, but it's a separate legal.
Yes, but what Charlie was asking was, in 1973, when Ms. Warren bought this property, was it the entire lot with a house on it?
No, it was the property at 313.
Just the property we're talking about?
Yes, sir.
I think y'all might be a little bit confused.
Well, what's your name?
Greg Lindsay, I'm sworn in. But the house that's on it now is not the house that was purchased in. That house was demolished and a new house was built on it in 1986, if that's what you're
saying. Okay, but I'm getting that. I kind of figured that when there was a house on it in 73, and this house that we're talking about was built in 86. Okay.
Well, we don't know when this house was built, when Ms. Warren purchased the property in 1973.
That's fine.
But a new house was built in 1986, as stated, and what we're saying is that multiple property owners purchased the property from Ms. Warren, and sometime in 1986, that property was, or that house was built
on that property.
Our point is that the code section requiring these dimensional requirements, as they're shown today, that code definition section in the email from the town clerk says that the code section was in effect before 1985, which says the code definitions were in effect before the house was built.
As to the setbacks and the yard size.
Yes, sir. So the survey plot provided by the current owners shows multiple violations. Well, you can expect if you see an inch or two on one side, that maybe something happened with the survey. But when you see multiple violations on all sides, and when you see egregious violations like only 3 feet from the rear yard, that requires 10, and 8 feet that requires 10, the ground didn't change or didn't get smaller because it still has the same dimensions that's plotted on the deed. The house didn't grow. So the only thing you can conclude is the house was built in non-compliance. That's our issue number one.
Did you challenge the building of that house in 1985?
Did I challenge it?
86.
No, I didn't challenge it.
Okay. So now you're looking for us to retroactively say this
house. You want me to read that statement that says, if you're an owner, the violation goes with the property, and the current owner is also liable for that property? That's North Carolina real estate law. It doesn't go with the owner, it goes with the property. It says no matter how long the code for the property was in violation.
Do we know whether the current owner of this property that bought the property, when did they buy it? 80?
The current owner, Patrick and Holly Smith, here they bought it in July
of 07.
July of 07.
You know whether or not they were told at the time they bought the house?
I have no idea.
The real estate law also says that they have to be made aware of that.
It doesn't say they have to be. When you buy a property, it says that you buy a property with its defects and with its you buy a property as it is, basically.
Yeah, but if there's a problem with the property, it must be disclosed. Okay. I mean, I know somebody very dear to my heart in the real estate.
Yeah. The problem's been with that property that's been sold 3 or 4 times, I believe.
Did you say you have for the record?
Excuse me, yeah, Greg Lane's notes on it.
The current house was built in 86, and it's built, the structure as it stands now is the same as it was in 86, but you know.
As far as I know.
When was the property where the house we're talking about in your house, it was evidently divided at one time?
It was divided when Ms. Warren bought it in 1973.
And Ms. Warren's house was in the front, was there a house in the back?
Yes. So there was. It was a similar cottage in the back that was on this 313 property when she purchased it in 1973.
So there were two similar cottages, the one where the house was torn down and the new house is now, with the house we're talking about, and it was another cottage behind it, which is your house today?
No.
It's all together.
We can't have two people testifying at the same time.
May I hear the question again?
So the house that was Ms. Warren's house was torn down, the house we're talking about is having the third story question is, the house behind it, which is where your house is today, is that the original house or?
No, it's a new structure.
It's a new structure. And that was built when?
That was built in 2004, I believe, Johnny. 2004. It was built to all the zoning code regulations at the time.
And the two properties where you said there were two, it looks like small properties, 25 feet by 100, and you own both of those properties?
adjacent to that.
Yes, and there's no structures on those properties?
There is no structures there.
And primarily, that's just your access, and you have those properties?
Well, it's a buildable property, but right now, the access to the property at 311 is a needed right-of-way for home none of those properties.
Are you saying there's another 50 by 50 lot in there that's a buildable lot?
If you combine the two 25-foot wide lots that we currently own at 309, 307, and 309, which is adjacent to the 313 property, that's a buildable lot.
The two 25-foot?
Yes, sir.
And what's the depth? That's the width. What's the depth?
100 feet.
How many? I didn't hear you.
100 feet.
Okay.
They're buildable as a 25-foot lot because Audrey's aunt owned it and then we inherited it from her.
Are both these lots under your control at this time?
Yes, sir.
Are you...
Okay. But I'm a little bit confused. How does that relate to the property at 313?
Well...
I mean, what's the connection? What's the relationship you're looking for?
I guess I'm looking at when the lot was split.
Which lot?
313.
When was it split?
Yeah.
I told you before, it was split sometime before the 1st of May in 1973 when Lorraine Warren bought it from my wife's aunt.
It was split before that.
Well, it had to be split, otherwise it wouldn't be a sellable lot. It had to have a legal deed before it could be sold.
Well, could you not have sold the whole thing, 50 by 100?
Well, I suppose she could if she wanted to. But let me see if I can clarify something, if that will help. My wife's aunt bought several of those properties in 1946. So it was under all her ownership and then under our ownership, except for this little piece that was sold off at the front to a dear friend of Ms. Warren. And then it looks like in 1973 and in 1985, she sold it to Wayne Lambert, who in just a few months sold it to Francis Ferris, who in 2003 sold it to David Fletcher, who in November 2003 sold it to Barnes, and then Barnes sold it to the Smiths in 2007.
Go
ahead, Charlie.
I'm sorry. That easement to the right, going towards the back, what property does that go to?
Which easement are you talking about, sir?
To the right of the shaded area that you have here.
Go back to the 313 property?
Yes, sir.
Is there an easement to the right of that?
To the left. I think it's to the left, isn't it?
No, I'm looking at the right. There's a lot of space. I don't know. Right. Maybe it's the drawing, but I'm getting the impression that the lot goes to the line on the far side of the page. Is that correct or incorrect?
Let me ask you to say, which lot are you talking about? We talking about 313?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to point out
where 313 boundaries are. Here's the surveyor's mark.
That area to the right of it.
Right there is the surveyor's mark, and he shows surveyor's mark there. He has marked all of the corners, here, here, and back up to here.
Okay, that's the building. What's the lot?
That is the lot.
Is the lot? The entire lot?
Yes, sir.
Not the whole house.
That's what we're talking about. Here's the house in unshaded area.
Sitting on that lot, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, house. I confused me for a second. I thought the whole house was the lot.
It's almost. It's almost. In fact, it exceeds the lot dimensions that I've pointed out. It's into all of the side yards and front and rear yard.
And the square footage of that lot is what now? Do you remember?
3,374 square feet.
3,374?
If my memory is correct.
So obviously less than 5,000 square feet.
Yes.
Required now.
Yes.
And the dimensions of your lot behind it, you said was even less than that?
Yes. It's 50 feet wide. It's the same width. But I believe it, it doesn't show there. I think it's 33 feet.
Sorry. Oh, 38 by 50. Okay, I got you. Did he answer your...
I was taking that whole area as being the house, and that's why. And I can't.
Okay. Does anybody have any further questions of
Mr. As I stated, the house on that lot, it's maxed it out already. And flagrantly moved into all yard dimensions. I read.
I'm familiar with that because so's my house. My house is the lot, or the lot is my house.
Well,
where I live here in Gary Beach.
If it's illegal.
Is there any other questions of Mr. Lambeth? I mean, there's other people that testify, and they can answer questions as well. Any questions of Mr. Lambeth?
Lindsay.
Mr. Lindsay. Oh, I'm sorry. Lambeth, Lindsay, Frazier. I'm losing it up here. Okay. Well, if you don't have it. Mr. Lindsay.
He's asked a question. The yard size thing confused me a little. The definition of yard is correct, yes. You state
we have a definition in 19 yes. of yard size.
And it's the same as this. I'm not quite clear what your point is in terms of doing inspection measuring you from mid-air. What's the point you're trying to make there?
Well, I could turn it over to the building inspector, but in our discussion...
I'm sure he'll tell me, but I'd like to
He's basically saying that instead of measuring the yard, minimum yard dimensions at the ground, he's going up at the third story and going back far enough so that you can measure on the third story level that you can meet 5 yards on the side, that you meet 10 in the back, and then meet 20 in the front. That's okay. The definition of yard doesn't allow that. It says yard dimensions, front, rear, and side, begin at the ground. That's in the definition.
Quite safely, it says the definition of a yard has to be unobstructed from the
ground. That's right, so it's ground all the way up.
Right, but yeah. My point is it has to start at the ground.
Yes.
It can't start up here at a third story level, or maybe next time down at a second story level or fifth point.
So this
it has to be at the ground, clearly defined by the definition.
The third the third story is, which is smaller than the size of the current, or the main of the current house.
I'm sorry.
The third story is smaller in size than the dimensions of the second story.
Of the house at the ground level.
Yes.
Well, obviously, I can go up to some height above the building that's there.
Yes.
And I can go over far enough to the point that I can meet a dimension. But the dimension is not all of the requirement. That just defines the size part of yard definition. You got to come back to the root word yard. And yard says at the ground.
Okay, I understand the point.
Any other questions for this witness? All right, sir, you may sit down and another member of your troop can come on up if they wish and add to it. Or
I don't really have anything to add. I just wanted to be sworn in.
Come on up.
Questions.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on up.
Okay. Hold on. Just stop. Don't state your name. I have to change my table.
Okay. Okay, yeah, hold on a second.
You're the boss. She said. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
My name is Greg Lindsay. I'm sworn in as a witness. And I really don't have anything else to present.
I can't hear you.